So I just learned from the great Facebook, wow, I am hot. I did change where my mic was located because it was like out here. I've been going to LT for 8 years. And I think my first or second time, there was this kid named Ryan Ferrara that went. I couldn't remember Ryan's last name to save my life, but ever since then, we've connected. And he started calling me, or his dad started calling me Doug the Baptist, and so we got this thing going on. So we got back last weekend from LT, and like to give everybody about a week to decompress. And I asked anybody who went last week, and we had people going in different roles, if they would be interested in sharing what they got out of the week last week. For those of you who don't know what LT stands for, life training. So we think about all the ways that we invest in the future in our children and our students, things like that. We make sure they go to school. Hopefully we make sure they do well in school. We make sure they get through school. We might send them to music lessons or sports practice, maybe even some extra classes to expand their knowledge. And why wouldn't it be important for the church to have something available for their students to really go start training for the spiritual life? And we'll do things like go out and help the local, I think in the past years we visited some retirement centers. We've gone and helped with the homeless folks, all with the purpose of sharing the gospel. So it's been really exciting. I don't think anybody that went this year was new. So Lex has gone as a student. She's gone 6 times as a student, high school, as a student in the Unleash program, which is college, right? As a helper, and then this year as an adult leader. So she has something to share. We got Serena, who's gone a couple times as a student. My little daughter, Sarah, she has gone as a pre-student. That means, hey, we're all going. We got to take you with us. And I think Caleb even did that 1 year. And what's really cool is these other churches that you see listed up there, basically the first year at Sarah when she was adopted by, I think it was it Palm Coast? Do you remember, Sarah? They're actually aren't listed on here for the year that she went. But, I mean, it's really cool bringing in these churches from around Great Commission. All these churches, except for us, are from a different region, and that's pretty cool, too. So we get to experience some different culture. The Rock from Miami, they actually go by, how do you say The Rock in Spanish? El Rocco? But up in that corner, you can't see it real well. That's one of their lead pastors there. Jerry Van Halen? No. But anyway, he's a hilarious guy. He's about 10 years older than me, and he comes every year. And this year, Miami was the largest church. And in fact, I think of the almost 30 students that were in the college group, 26 to 28 of them were from that one church. So Awaken is, if you've gone to Faith Walkers, Frank Liu is the pastor there, and he speaks at Faith Walkers as well. Vintage is a newer church in St. Petersburg. By the way, I'm giving you hints for great vacation places to go visit the fellow brothers and sisters. Oak Ridge is up in Maryland. Numa is a new church plant in Wilmington. They didn't actually attend, but we worked with them on reaching some local folks. The Howell Community Church is in Howell. Darby Creek, that's us, and then Ablaze up in Blacksburg in the Virginia Tech area. So I'm going to stop talking and let the other folks talk. So who wants to go first? Caleb does not want to go first. Serena wants to go first. That spotlight took me out.
Hi, my name is Serena Charlton, and I was on the high school track for LT. This year's LT was actually really small. Like he said, there was like 30 students in the college and then like 40 students in high school track, and that's like really unusual. But it was really cool because we were able to get like really, really close with each other and like found out a lot of things about each other, and it was really cool. So what I'm going to share with you isn't really about LT. It's about what happened after LT. The verse that I chose for today is 1 Peter 5:7-8, and it says, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." At LT, a lot of what was said is that we are more vulnerable because we were just at a conference. And after you leave a conference, if you've ever been to a conference, you're on this like spiritual high and you feel like you can do anything. And then after you get out of the conference, reality hits you really hard. And it seemed that while you were at the conference, you were in this like bubble and nothing could get to you. But as soon as you're out of it, the bubble is popped and it's like awful. Well, after LT, we were all really sad to go. And then while we were driving home, I got added to this group chat. I left my phone over there, but can you give it to me? So, this group chat, we call it our chat church. It has all the churches in it, so it has like, I'm gonna see how many students. 39 members of like students, and then we have one of the pastors from, I think, Oak Ridge, yeah. The pastor from Oak Ridge is in it, and some of the leaders for the youth groups are in it too. And the group chat is just like we can put our prayer requests and things that we're struggling with into the group chat, and then all 39 people respond with like, we're praying for you, or you can do this, this will help you, and it's great. It's been so awesome. And even people like going out and sharing ask for like help, like, you know, this person is saying this, what can we say to help them? And then, you know, all 39 people respond and say, well, you can do this or this, or we're still praying for you, so we hope that it goes well. And it's been so cool. And I think this has been like the best after LT experience for me, because after LT before, it was like, we're just home. That's it. LT is over. I mean, we can still do our soap, and we can still be in touch with people that went to LT with our church, but that was the extent of it. But now we're all like keeping in touch, and we're all like, oh, well, we'll see each other at Faith Walkers, or maybe we can meet up at some other time. And it's been really, really cool. Another group chat that I got added to, we call them soap chicks. And soaping is just a way of journaling if you want to know about it. I mean, raise your hand if you're at LT, you can ask one of us. And then, so we share our soaps in it. It's been really encouraging because after LT, you know, you're back at work, and for some people, you're back at school, and then you just kind of forget. And so doing the group chat with people who send their, like, soaps or their journals in it has been super encouraging for me to do my soap so that I can share with them. And then we all pray for each other. And there's only, like, 6 people in that group chat, so it's a little different. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Raina. So I really ask that you guys pray for this young lady. She's going to be a senior this year. And Serena, as I'm watching her over the past couple years, and though it's cool is when you don't live in the house, you can kind of watch from a distance, and the crazy stuff that they do, you don't even see. But when I see Serena growing in Christ and developing, she has very strong leadership abilities. And just pray that God would hone those and use those for his glory. She's going to do some great things for his church. All right, Sam, you want to go next? So Sam has been as a student. And band, have you been in the band every year? Have you ever been just a student?
Just a student for like 3 years.
Okay.
And then the other 4, band, I think.
Yeah, did you do Unleashed?
No.
Okay.
No, I got into the band first.
Okay.
So I never did Unleashed.
So what's really cool, so you see is churches in other years, the list has been much longer, and churches that are much bigger, and I say this out of what Christ is doing with this church, but we're traveling down to Wilmington, North Carolina, and leading other churches in worship, and you think about the investment that this church has made in young people, whether it's Charlie working with the musicians, or take a step back when Kathy and Julie Roy's and even Cam, oh good, he's not in here, what would help these kids with what we called KICK, and before that, Worshiptainment. And really taking their musicality to that next level. And I know Zach has done that and some others have been in the band as well. So it's been a great ministry from our church to the other churches. So
yeah, so being in the band's always been like a great growing experience for me, especially this year being leading it for the first time, picking the songs and deciding what are we going to do and how we're going to do it. And, you know, being more like a staff person this year was really growing for me because I got to expand on my growth of becoming more of a servant and having a servant's heart this year, because I was able to drive people around. I had access to a vehicle that I could shuttle people here and there and go pick up supplies and drop people off here and do all this, all kinds of stuff, and make sure that, you know, everybody had what they needed. So that was a huge thing for me. And I wanted to come back this year different than I had previous years, because when I was a student, the tendency was to go and learn all this stuff, come back and be the same, you know. And that's what I did for probably the majority of the student years that I went. All 3 years was I go and come back the same and not change much. But then I decided, you know, a couple years back that I really wanted to start coming back different and coming back changed and coming back better and more of a godly man than I was the year before. And this verse that I want to share, I think Doug texted this to us like the first night, was 1 Corinthians 16:13. And it says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." And coming from Nicaragua and sharing the gospel, I got to share a little bit in North Carolina, and it was really, really, really discouraging because there was nobody wanted to hear what you had to say versus, you know, Nicaragua, where they literally invite you into your house and make sure you had a seat and everything. So it was discouraging. So I was kind of clinging onto that verse all week because, you know, I was discouraged. And I was also tired from, you know, tie downs and then getting up and going to a staff meeting and trying to get breakfast and picking songs and doing all this other extra stuff that I'd never done before. So I was clinging to that verse and all the while trying to grow my heart and, or have God grow my heart and being a servant. And I really feel like this year I did make a huge change in my heart, that I have become a greater godly man than I was the year before when I went. And I just continue to pray that God continues to grow me in that area, especially where the verse says, stand firm in your faith. Sometimes I will admit I have the tendency to back away from a spiritual conversation if I get the chance, you know. I mean, sometimes I'll jump in and sometimes I won't, you know, which I don't want to do. I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be the guy that's like, oh, well, it's obvious that he's a Christian, you know, and he's not afraid to jump in and share what he believes and what he thinks about, you know, the world or Jesus Christ or whatever, you know. So yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted to get out of LT, and I just continue to pray for myself that God would continue to grow me and make me into a better example and a godly man. So
yeah, thanks, Sam. Nice job. So pray for this guy too. So Sam's heart is for justice and for serving other people. He's trying to get into a police academy. What's really encouraging is while we're down at LT, I don't know if it was Sunday or Monday, elders from the other church came to me and said, "Do you think Sam Miller would be willing to be on the guys and girls panel?" So these other elders are seeing his life, and they're saying, this is the kind of guy that we want talking to other guys about being a guy. So that's pretty cool. So and absolutely, it's being brought up in a good house. But, you know, being a supportive church and his reputation getting out there, that's pretty exciting. You guys should be really proud to have someone like that in our church. Who's next? Shelby?
I'm Shelby. I have some notes, so bear with me. So before LT, a couple of days before, I was listening to Radio U, and there was this one song.
Were you listening to Zach?
I was listening to the music. I don't know who's that. Sorry, Zach. And there's the lyrics to the song. It's like, your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Which goes back to Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, which is what Charlie actually shared earlier, which I thought was really cool that you shared that. And so that was just stuck in my head, and I didn't really know why. I was like, cool song. And then the first night of LT, Tom Short was kind of sharing about just kind of the main theme of the week, which is greater than, and he said that God is greater than the world. And so then he asked, do you envy the wicked and the desires of this world? And I was like, no. And then I thought more, and I was like, oh, wait, I do. And it was really cool because that whole week I was reading in Hosea, which is, you know, one of those small books in the end of the Old Testament. And it was just kind of about Israel was like putting idols over God and all this stuff. And I didn't realize, but I had been doing that, like just with things of this world, not necessarily like seeking them out, but putting them in an equal priority with God, which is idolizing them. So then I realized that, and I was like, okay. And then the next day, I realized that God is greater than me. And so Jerry was reading Isaiah 40, which kind of talks about God's greatness. And then he said we were grasshoppers. And I was like, I'm not a grasshopper. God loves me. And then I was like, wait, God doesn't love me because I'm so great. He loves me because he's so great. And so that was kind of a humbling moment for me. And then I realized that I had been fairly self-centered with a decent amount of my pursuits, and that I was also pretty discouraged often. And then Jerry said, if you look at yourself, you will be oppressed, but if you look at God, you will be blessed. And I was like, oh, it rhymes, but also wise words. And so then the rest of the week, it was just really awesome to see God changing people's lives. And then I realized that he could change my heart and my attitude about things too, and I didn't have to keep, you know, envying the wicked or placing myself before God. And so this whole week after LT, he's been kind of working on that. And like yesterday, like mom and dad will like ask me to do something, and instead of like whining about it, I'll try to do it, and just right. Things like that. So he's been changing my heart, and also all the group chats and things have been super encouraging and helpful with that. So that's all.
Thanks, Shelby. So Shelby's going away to Cedarville, all the way to Cedarville. That's the limited radius that Julie would allow with Shelby this year. But pray for Shelby. One of her heart's desires, and it's she's leaving it up to God, is that she gets on the worship team or one of the worship teams there. And it's to reach more people for Christ. And she's wanting to go into a profession where she can reach people with physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. And I know, like Christina, she's in nursing, and she has that opportunity to help people meet their physical needs and then also hopefully influence their spiritual life. So, again, great young people we have here. Who's next? Anyone? Anyone? Cable, yeah. So there's this song that, and I recorded it, and I was listening to it this morning, and it just crushed me. I can't remember any of the words, but you guys go, oh, 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 in it a lot. You know me. And Caleb had one song at LT where he kind of was sharing the lead with Shelby on it. It's a very dear song. It's a very sweet song. But here's another Miller stepping up. So Zach was a leader for a while, coming in behind David Root, and then Sam's coming in behind Zach, and we continue to keep that conveyor belt of Darby Creekers who love to worship, and they worship well, and they're starting to get trained, life training, on doing that next thing. So that was really exciting to see and hear. And poor Sam, or poor Caleb, or Cable, or whoever the heck he is, again, one of the elders at another church asked, hey, do you think Caleb would be willing to share on the closing night about what he got out of LT? I'm like, hey, that's great. You know, someone picked up on something during the week. So I talked to Caleb, and he works diligently on what he was going to share. And then we get there, and Tom Millar goes in, would Caleb, whatever his last name was, please come out? It was completely different Caleb. And the other Caleb was completely surprised. So he came up, and unfortunately the kid was quite the ham, and he had just gotten baptized, so he had a pretty cool story to share too. But are you going to share that with us this morning, what you were going to share, or is this something fresh?
This was something fresh.
Okay. No, you're good with fresh. We hate week-old stuff. So come on up, Caleb.
Hi, my name's Caleb Miller, or Cable, whatever you want to call me, it's fine. So this year at LT, I was a student and I was in the band. This was my third year going, first year in the band. So when we get to LT, it's always a lot of fun, and it's usually really hot. Anyone that's there will testify to that, and it gets really warm, and you don't want to be in the sun very often. You just want to, can I go inside and sit down and do stuff inside, please? But, I mean, we went outside a lot, which was awesome. It ended up being a really awesome time for evangelizing and things like that. But for me, this year, I was really set in my ways here. And then when I got there, it took me 2 or 3 days. And then I was like, okay, I'm going now. This is awesome. This is great. And then, like, 2 more days, and I'm like, oh, it's over. I have to go home now. And which was really it's horrible. There, one of the days that I wasn't so into it was one of the best days of the week, which was Monday, which Monday's never the best day of the week, except when it's LT, because we did worship night that night, and that's always the best night of the week. And it's just, 2 hours? Of worship and yep. Teaching.
I think your set was programmed to be 16 songs.
Yeah. So it was a lot. And the thing that we did there that night is that one of the pastors from the Florida church, Frank, they had a cross set up, and basically what he had us do is he had everyone grab a note and a pen, and they had to write down one of their sins that they had been struggling with. And then they took it to the cross that was in one of the corners of the room, and they attached it to the cross. And we were playing songs, and it was a really amazing, worshipful time. And so we were playing music and stuff, and then he has these two guys carry the cross over to the front, and he says that he's going to read the sins off of the cards. Which, yeah, everyone was really, really surprised and kind of like, please don't. But he did that. He didn't say any names. We weren't supposed to sign it or anything. But that night, there were so many sins that were repeated, and just so many people struggling with the same things, with pornography, with cursing, with disobeying their parents, with so many things like that, that so many people were struggling with. So many of the people in one place from across the country that thought, oh, maybe I'm alone in that. I'm the worst. And when we're struggling with a sin like that, we're kind of thinking, I do it the worst. And Satan's just kind of beating us down with that. And like, it's only me. It's only me. He's telling us that it's only you doing these things, and you're the worst. And why are you doing that? But that night, everyone in that room kind of realized I'm not alone in what I'm facing and what I'm struggling with. And one of the verses that came to mind that I was thinking of was Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so what I was thinking about is how there's so many people that now know that they're not alone in their struggles, and they can talk to people, and that's amazing. It's amazing to have that fellowship here, and I'm very blessed to have a family to a church family to share my struggles with. But it's Christ who really gives us the strength to carry on and to conquer the sin that's controlling us and conquering our lives. And that was the theme this year was greater than. So Christ gave us the strength to become greater than the sins that we were struggling with. And that's just been carrying with me throughout this week and changing the way I've been thinking about things and the way I act at work and my attitude about a lot of different things. So, yeah, that's what I got from this week.
Thanks, Caleb. So you guys can pray for Caleb. It looks like God has a specific high school that he wants Caleb to attend, and I know there's some anxiety about that. But greater is he that is in Caleb than he that is in the world. And we know that God can do a great work with Caleb where he might be going. So pray about that for the family. I know that's very heavy on their heart. So, anybody else? Lex? And like I said, Lex has done almost everything except director.
Hi, I'm Lex. So I went as a leader this year. Not only a leader, I was also a go group leader, which...
Is that who... Those are all the go group leaders?
This middle picture right here is all of our
Who's
go group leaders.
Who's standing backwards?
That was my co-group leader, Jared. Okay. He's a character, and we had a great time. It was very different for me because, you know, we'd go into our go group meetings, and they'd say, oh, well, you have your students from this time to this time. And then after, you get to hand them off to the leaders, and you don't have to worry about them anymore. But I was handing my kids off to me, so...
Not that you worried about anything.
No, I wasn't worried about it at all because our students are wonderful, and I don't have to worry about them at all. but it was a really awesome experience to just be able to get to know our students better, just because I think we had a barrier of I grew up with their older siblings, so I was the older sibling of the group. So it was really nice to just kind of connect with them on a deeper level and as like a brother and sister in Christ and not just a sibling. So Serena and I got to drive down together, and that was interesting. That was a long drive, but we had a good time and we really bonded. And just being able to be honest with everybody, like Caleb was saying, like the reading off of the sins, like as soon as that night happened, everybody was so honest with each other. Everybody, you know, when they were struggling, there were people praying for that person. When somebody was discouraged about their, when they went out to share the gospel and stumbled over the words or didn't know what to say, bam, somebody was praying for them, encouraging them. And it was just really cool to see how we all came together in that environment. And my favorite part, I think it was the last day that we did the student-led disciple-making initiative. So one of our girls from, was it a Blaze? Caitlin?
Jacksonville.
Okay, one of our girls from Jacksonville came up with this idea. I went out early before the first session and got a poster board and some Sharpies, and we drew this big greater than symbol on a big poster board. And so our initiative was we went out and we were going to ask people to write what they thought was greater than in this world. And Doug was kind enough to give us a giant cooler of waters, which helped start our conversations. So we would just start off with, hey, we have free water. Would you like some? It's hot outside. We went out to downtown Wilmington, so people are out and, you know, shopping and stuff like that. Water's good for them. And so what we would do is we put the, instead of holding the poster board up like we were, you know, protesting or something like that, we put it on top of the cooler. So in order for them to get a water bottle, we had to move the board. And so a lot of them would look at it and be like, oh, what's that? Or, you know, they tried to avoid it or something. And... It was really interesting just to see what people had to say about that. But at the same time, we would say, hey, do you want to put your opinion down on the board? And then at the very end, it was, hey, can we pray for you? And so I forget what day it was, but it was before we went out. Nick Pearson did Greater Among You Will Be Servants. And so he talked about just how we can serve each other and how we can serve those that are not in the church. And so in Hebrews 13:2, he quoted, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." And so we kind of talked about, you never know who you're serving. You never know the impact you have on somebody. And so it was kind of a change of heart for me of, you know, if you live every day that way, that you never know who you're impacting, how much joy can you get out of, you know, God living in me and through me and just my life in general. If I live it, you know, completely devoted to God, how much can you give to people? You're giving a piece of God to somebody, and just passing out the water bottles and being able to just ask people, hey, can we pray for you? And seeing the look on their face, like they've never heard that before, and like the overwhelming sense of peace that they got from, you know, these people who they've never met before, interested in their lives and wanting to take a piece of their lives and pray for it and, you know, bless it and make sure that God is working through them. It was just a really cool experience just to see how willing our students were to do that and just how much of an impact we made on people.
Thanks, Lex. I'm going to do some presupposing for Lex. So, Lex, you're still looking for full-time work in your career field, right? Mm-hmm. So, definitely could use some prayer there. The other exciting thing is the high level of intentionality and, sorry, I'm a work guy, performance on Lex's part. They're going to be, LT is going to be hunting for Lex next year because they really appreciate how she gets it and then executes the plan. And the students that work with her, either in a go group or from our church, just really demonstrate a high level of understanding what she was doing. So you're a good teacher and instructor, and I appreciate that. So, and getting there on time, yes. Next year you got to take over Miami. The further south you go, the more variable time gets. So, Sarah, did you still want to say something? I can't see through the spotlight. She was going to come say something, though. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, she was going to pop out if she could. All right, Sarah went too, and it was great. All right, so I still have technically 20 minutes, but in reality, all the time that you need to get through this morning's message. So I'm just really thankful for this church and the things that God is doing with this. I do, as one of the elders here, and I see the financial picture, I see the cultural issues going on in our community. I see even some of our own students that step away for a time, or even students that go off to start their own lives, or other families who have been here and spent some time with Darby Creek and then have gone on to wherever God has them. You know, there's a little bit of missing them and wondering what's next, what's God going to do with this church. And it's good to be reminded that, you know, when we're faithful to God, even with little, he takes that and expands it to something that you would never expect. So I had the great privilege again this year working with Kathy and my wife Julie and Erica and Kelsey from, they are from Oak Ridge. And then Ed, I don't know why I keep calling him Miller Lee, from Howell, and we ran the kitchen. So God bless us with a commercial kitchen. And what's really cool there is since we've been able to go there, we've reduced the cost of doing LT by about $5,000 for a week. So that's pretty remarkable. God has provided that for us. So. Really didn't come from any of the teachings that we did, but I was really thinking about Paul's letter to Titus, and I thought this would be a great time to share that, because Paul is talking to Titus about different generations within the church working together. And he talks to Timothy a little bit about it. He talks to Timothy and the way we enumerate the Bible so we can better track where we are on each page. He talks to Timothy on chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, about respecting older men, about treating brothers as younger men as brothers. And what's meant by that is not with authority, but with having the same salvation. He talks about treating older women as he would his own mother, and then also younger women as sisters with all purity. So there's this idea that whether you're the pastor or a young person, that we have these ongoing relationships. And I want to challenge us today, are we there? So can we bring up that next slide? Are you ready for church growth? I really work well on bi-directional communication. Are you ready for some church growth? Are you guys ready for spreading the gospel more? Are you ready for spreading the gospel more? My goodness, it was a late night. Do you guys trust this? I am not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to trust this. All right. Well, let's pray. You know, what's really cool, at least in our culture, we still respect this enough that when we swear in our president, in some court cases and things like that, we still respect this Bible enough that it means something, that people put their hands on it and raise their right hand, right? So, but we respect this to a whole nother level. This is the directions to life. So let's pray. Our Dearly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the students and others that share their life training experience. And God, I just pray that there would not be shrink of their experience, the loss, waste of that time. And God, I just pray that today's message will be meaningful for the people that are here today. And bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I have the directions or the... Oh, yeah, up here. I can drive. Please? Oh, wait, there's an on switch. Hey! All right. Okay, very good. This is what Jesus said. All right, gut check. Who in here don't you love? Quit looking at me. People can be hard to live with and to deal with and to be with and to share a room with and to select paint with. Shovel snow, work in ministry. But by this, people will know you're my disciples. How much do we talk about each other to people who aren't here? And I love coming back from things. So one of the really cool things is part of... Oh, that's Emily. Hi, Em. Sorry. Now that you're outside of the spotlight, I can see my own daughter. I'm a good dad. So for my kids, Shelby and Sarah raised all of their support to go to Nicaragua. And that meant going out to people they don't know. And a lot of the people were people that I work with. So if you're on my Christmas card list and there's a time for fundraising, look out for my curls. And Emily's done the same in the past. So they went out and they raised all this money. Well, what that did, that opened a door for me. So, hey, are your girls back from their trip? Well, yes, they are. How was it? It was fine. Back to work. No. It was, oh, Sarah's first experience of a third world hospital and how it broke her heart. And that only Jesus is the hope for people. So we start kicking open doors to have conversations with people. And I talk about everybody who went to Nicaragua. And we're a wee little church. And we're so proud that so many went. And, oh, by the way, I got to preach this Sunday because our pastor's going to be worn out. You preach, too? You could see who came. But by this, All people know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a really, I can't remember where I read this, but this is really cool. How people see the church live and function impacts the gospel. By this, people will know you are my disciples. How do we talk about each other? How do we live with each other? Man, Andy Whitaker is just, we meet every Sunday or early in the morning. And he is my Jiminy Cricket about getting together with people. He is just passionate about it. If Andy calls you to go out for lunch or dinner, please go with him. That way he doesn't talk to me about it so much. No. So stay for the picnic because I get credit for 62 lunches. So, Christian ethic and doctrine are inseparable and harmonious, or at least they should be. So the way we live is really demonstrating, and that's what Titus 2 is all about, gang. It is a really, really cool book. But first we have to go to Titus 1 at the very end, because Paul did not actually write the letter to Titus in chapters and verses, but in order to, like I said earlier, keep us in the same place. So I'm using the ESV. Did anybody notice the post-its in the back room when you came in? Yeah. Hopefully you read some of those words. You kind of got the idea of what we're talking about. The red is actually supposed to be pink, so that's the girls' jobs. The blue is the guy stuff. So later when you're getting your food for your picnic or something, take a look at those words. It'll remind you of today's message. But Titus was sent by Paul to Crete. Titus was not a Jew. He was one of Paul's first Greco-Roman converts that had leadership skills, that had the power of the Holy Spirit in teaching and administration and leadership. And in fact, even today in the United States Armed Services Chaplains Services, there is the Titus Award. And each year, a chaplain in the Armed Services gets this award for their great leadership in religious activities, you know, because we don't say just Christianity anymore. But Titus is highly thought of. In fact, his relics have been preserved. It's a little bit creepy, but his skull is still kept in a church. I want to see it for some reason. But he was highly thought of, and he really impacted the church. So Paul goes through chapter 1, and he's talking about, hey, I'm sending you to Crete. You need to drive elders there. We need to raise up men to run the church there. You got to do it. And you need to be direct, because there's this great idea about Cretans that they are liars and they're terrible and all this stuff. You got to push through that. And then he talks about also there's these Cretan. You guys ever heard it? You're such a Cretan? It's not never a good thing, right? That these Crete Christians were not really doing it. And he closes, or we close chapter 1 with, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. And Paul, I was texting with Steve this week. I like to listen to scriptures as well as read them. And for whatever reason, the audio Bible that I landed on, the guy was talking like this as he's reading through Titus. And Paul is PO'd. Because look what he says here. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. And you think about these things that everybody just shared, this good work that God has them doing in a state far, far away, and hopefully in a community nearby. And that's what he's saying. You got to go fix this. So then we jump into chapter 2. This is really complicated. Paper and Bibles and clickers. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. So first, teach the older men. Oh, sorry, I forgot something I wanted to say before I jumped into that. So I've said this in the past. When we become Christians, we aren't in heaven. We aren't instantly promoted to the president of our company. We're not instantly moved into a nonprofit to run or serve. we're still in our station of life. And that's what Titus 2 is really about. Stay where you are, live differently. So Titus 2, and actually I'm reading in the NIV. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. And just a couple really quick things, old guys. If you're an old guy, can you stand up? Will you commit to that? Walter's about to stand up. He doesn't know if I'm kidding or not. Who here is willing to be called an old guy? Because these young guys need to know who you are. All right, yes. Walter's per. All right. And I'm standing the whole time today. So the purpose of godly church relationships is not to limit us, but to give us direction on how we ought to live well and thus proclaim Christ. So for the old guys, we're to be sober-minded. That doesn't mean, oh, live our way, we are right. No, it just means that I got to get to the next slide. We're serious about life. We're intent on life. We're intentional on life. And we know that we're here for a reason. One of our purposes is to work. Work was created before the fall of man. So we're created to work. We're created to do a good job at our work. Walter, can I ask how old you are? And how much do you work? Okay. Walter has, at least in Western culture, every right to retire. There's nothing in the Bible about retiring. There's nothing wrong with retiring, but we are wired to work. And I really love sharing Walter's story, and he does a great job. And I don't hear him going, kids these days are young whippersnappers. He talks about the good work that he does, right? So temperate, sober-minded, dignified or worthy of respect. Guys, old guys, we're supposed to live dignified. We're supposed to live worthy of respect. I kind of tend to fall to, I like having fun. I like doing silly things. But is more of my life dignified? And is it something that the young men are going to look up to? That they say, man, what would it take for me to get to that level of being a godly man? To do a good job at work? To take good care of my family? You know, if you're married, are you taking care of your wife? If you're a father, are you working hard at being a good dad? Self-controlled. Thank God this is a fruit of the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. And what's interesting, in three of the four people groups that Paul is writing Titus about, he talks about being self-controlled. Self-controlled is very important. Being self-controlled. Can you guys say self-controlled? Self-controlled. Okay, you got it? All right, good. So being self-controlled, and it is a fruit of the Spirit. I was talking to one of the young men down at LT, and he was just talking about where he was in his walk with Christ and some of the sin that he's struggling with and just feeling really bad about that. But we started talking about the fruits of the Spirit with joy and helpfulness and things like that. And I shared with them because I was spending time with a younger person, a young man, and young older men should spend time with younger men, encouraging them. And I was sharing with them, but you show these fruits of the Spirit. You're getting there. Don't let Satan say anything otherwise. We got to be able to do that. Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. What soundness means is healthiness. Your health is sound or your health is not sound. It means, yeah, I've got this. So, sound in faith, we're talking about these relationships that are vertical to God and horizontal with other people. And are those relationships healthy? And that is hard. I've shared with a couple guys today that my schedule is running my life. I got to run my schedule. And it's so easy to lose control of that. But we need to have very healthy lives. If you look in 1 Timothy 4:16, what a great, great verse for old guys. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers or your watchers, who's watching you. Persevere in your doctrine and your faith, older guys. And that's what endurance is about. The other verses, James 1, 2 through 4. Man, this is great stuff. You just can't get through life without this, guys. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, so endurance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Guys, the younger guys are looking to us because we've endured, we've persevered, we've gone through it. I got to look at Skip, because Skip's running the race a little bit ahead of me. I'm looking at John. He's running the race a little ahead of me. I'm looking at Walter. He's running the race a little bit ahead of me. I know we can make it. Am I taking advantage of that opportunity in my church? I'm not. I'm not doing a good enough job with that. Likewise, when I'm looking backwards, whether it's to Ryan, whether it's to Nathan, whether even Damon, is my race, am I running far enough ahead, and is my doctrine and my ethic good enough that I feel compelled that I can share that with them when they ask? All right, got it, older guys? I really hate this phrase. I wish there was a better translation than older women. But what a title to have. So anybody who can... Should I do this? Am I treading where angels dare not? Okay. All right, Linda already stood up. So older women, stand up. Thank you. Before you sit down, and Dolly is standing up in spirit. Before you sit down, do you know what reverent means? You are a priestess of the Most High God. What a role! A priestess to the Most High God. Thank you for doing that job. All right, sit down. You have very specific... So the old guys were being taught to be this way. You got to take it to the next level. You got to be this way, and you have to teach the younger women. What a glorious role. In this society, where we are today, and what's really cool is Paul says, in these times, almost 2,000 years ago, we're still in a Western Greco-Roman type of an environment. So this applies today as much as it did back then. And teach what is good. There is a verse that's really, really good that I cannot think of to save my life right now. I showed Andy and Nick my notes this morning so they understand. Oh, 1 Timothy 5:25. It says good deeds are obvious. I don't know if bad deeds are always obvious, but I know good deeds are obvious. And so when I'm at work and I'm sharing about LT, and I'm sharing about my girls that have gone on mission trips, and I share about the good work that they do, you know, My daughter Emily, she's just been asked for kind of a promotion where she's going to go out and train other people how to do their job. So I'm talking about this, and people stop and say, "You're a good man." And I say, "Well, there is none good, only one." No, I really don't. I drink that in. I mean, that's, yeah, I'm good. People know what good is. So older women, do you know what good is? If you live long enough that you can discern, that's a bad decision. Or who? That is potentially be a bad decision. Or that's a bad guy. Because you know what? He doesn't fulfill even one of those things that older men. And if you're going to follow that guy, someday he's going to be your husband. And if he can't pull that off, who? He hasn't checked that list for you yet. Young ladies, you should be looking for guys that fulfill that list. So also in the verse there, um, I'm not going to make it in 20 minutes. But I am going to accelerate here. So being reverent in the way you live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. So at this time, women were just kind of sitting around like we would picture old guys, sitting on the porch, drinking wine, talking about other people. We're not doing that, women. We are the high priestess of God, teaching what is good. Then, so you're teaching what is good, then you can train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. Man, that is so important, because kids drive you crazy. To be self-controlled again. So there's the second of the group. They need the fruit of the Spirit. Well, if you're teaching them the gospel and you're teaching them about the Bible, you're teaching them about the fruits of the Spirit, they're becoming self-controlled. Be pure. Busy at home. Has all the hair settled back down yet? Okay. Just, you got to be careful. Whoo! He's not telling me I'm supposed to stay home. No. But you got. We all say we trust the Bible, right? What that means is, as a homemaker, whether you're a single woman living at home, whether you are over a household, being busy at home means, are you doing a good job of your stewardship of the home? So are you doing that? That's not sexist. That's an important job that God has said women can do this. And to be subject or submit to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Wow! Girls, ladies, you got a lot. That is a big list. And the purpose is nothing more than so people will not malign the word of God, will not diminish the gospel. What a great honor that is. Talk about your life being the gospel. I hope that encourages you. Now, if you look at the post that's back there, I put submit under everybody because I'm a chicken. I didn't want to deal with the discussions later. But if you look at chapter 3, verse 1, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, or submit to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do what is good. In Hebrews, talk about subjecting yourself to the elders of the church. We all have to submit to somebody, or we get to. And if you're married to a guy that's checking off all those old guy lists, or even some of the young guy lists, I think that'd make it easier for you. Please don't ask Julie, because I'm not there. No, you can ask her. Oh, and by the way, trainers are experienced. I watched a Rocky video clip this morning that I was going to play, and I thought, yeah, I don't think women want to be compared to Rocky and his trainer. But what Rocky did, Rocky went out and did his own jogging stuff, and he's punching the sides of beef in the freezer on his own. The trainer wasn't there with him. But when it came time to learn something new or to assess his ability to improve, the trainer was there to add some tweaks and some advice, because the trainer had been there before. All right, got to accelerate here. Young women, again, love husbands, love your children, be self-control, all these things that we just said that the older women are to help you learn. Wow, be pure. And this self-controlled, pure, being a good steward at home, at your home, being kind, that's for every woman, right? Man, kindness. This world needs some kindness. If you want to open the door, be known for being kind. Sweet, eh. Because there's some really sweet girls there. I don't know what that means. But being pure. If you have a question, ask an older woman. But I want to go back to last time I spoke, just a few weeks ago, when I was talking about King David and all the really tough things he did. He is a pornographer. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was a liarer. And he never lost the Holy Spirit. There is grace. If we're not here today, you know, you confess it, it's gone, reboot. Because if you are a Christian, it's gone anyway. The only thing that's bugging you is your conscience and the deceiver who's bringing this back up. You can reboot today. All right, younger men, now this one you have to be a little bit more creative as you're reading through the passage, because it doesn't say, and the younger men do this. But he's talking to Titus, who is a younger man. And Titus has purpose. And guess what? Self-controlled. And guys, through the Spirit. You got to be drinking in the Scripture. You got to be getting with other men. You got to be thinking about, how am I going to make the day? God, take control of my day. Help me be self-controlled. A model of good works. I mean, it's obvious what good is. Have integrity. So, integrity, if you need a definition, is avoidance of corruption. So, young guys. Some of the old guys have already gone through a lack of integrity, gone through some corruption. They'll say, yeah, stay away from that. If you don't feel good about something, something's not right in your life, in your walk, in your work, be a man of integrity every time. Don't fold there. Dignity. Have fun, absolutely. Enjoy life. Sometimes be silly, but that's not your character. You're not known as being unruly. Avoiding debauchery. So the opposition of this, you can look this up on your own, is Romans 1, 28 through 32. And that part of Romans, Paul is talking about all the bad things that are going on in the world. Even people inventing new ways to sin, and people celebrating new ways to sin. And what will you do as a man of dignity and integrity? Soundness in speech. So what did I say soundness meant? Healthy. Is your speech healthy? The opposition to that is Ephesians 5:4. Which is on the page where I put the marker light so I wouldn't remember. So he's got this list of things. Be imitators of God, and then don't do this. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. And man, there's the water cooler talk. You know, I know where Jacob works, especially late at night. He's working night shift with a construction team. It's easy to get drawn in those conversations and not to want to stand out. But when you're a man of integrity and dignity, that's a sign of the gospel. And that's what all these great activities are for. That's what all this great behavior is for. And young women, wouldn't you want a guy that's like that? It's not about living a life of limitation, but purpose. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And training us to renounce ungodliness, training us to renounce worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's what I was talking about. He said that 2,000 years ago. This present age is still this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us all from lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous. There are zealots out there, guys. They're zealous for all kinds of things. Are you zealous for God? Are you zealous for the gospel? And then he says to Titus, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. You are given permission to rebuke with authority. You're given permission to exhort. I hope you heard me exhorting these young people as they came up here and shared their stories, and I asked you to pray for them. I can also tell you on the side, there's periodic rebuking, and man, that's uncomfortable. But because we have a high level of trust, because I'm not just stepping in out of nowhere saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. Man, what a reason for us to be reaching forward and reaching back throughout our church, right? You need the Holy Spirit to do it. All right, so on the back of your handout, I got some space for you. And maybe you do this before you picnic or whatever. So who do you really know here? Who do you know here that's different than you? And I'm really asking older women with younger women and younger women with older women, who do you really know? It's not appropriate for an older man to take an older woman's spot. It's not appropriate for an older woman to take an older man's spot. I am so thankful. When the pastors were up from Nicaragua, I was so excited to share with them the number of guys that we have coming to church on Sundays. That does not happen in other churches. And I'm really excited about that. I'm so happy to have all these guys here. And all the women here, too. But that just doesn't happen in other churches. There are so many excuses. Work is so stressful. I got to go do whatever today. There's not anything wrong with whatever today, but what's your priority? And I really love the guys who've made church as a priority. What do you do with these people that you know or don't know? So I know a lot of times we've got time together in the ministries, so there's some older women with some younger women, and they're not necessarily that much older women, but they're older than who they're helping with. So Sarah's back there with somebody today. I'm presuming she's not the oldest girl back there. But besides just taking care of the kids, are we building a relationship? Are we being intentional there? Are we having real conversations? Hey, when we're done here with the kids today, I'd like to catch up with you. How is school going? What's going on in the guy world? Imagine what that would be like. That's not just the parents that are putting down the screws, but it's a loving older sister, right? And to that point, what do you guys talk about? So take some time, pray about that. I really love this closing in Titus 3:8. I want you to insist on these things. I feel like just about every other time I get up here, gang, I'm sharing with you the God, what he says about the relationships in our church, exhorting one another, encouraging one another daily. Are we doing those things? Speak the truth in love. Are we doing those things? So that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works, to things that are obviously good, that really make that the gospel of Jesus Christ come to life. So that's all I have to say about that. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll do the offering while we do the last song. So the band will come up while I pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for your word, and again for the clarity of your word. Thank you for those here who trust in your word. Build this church. We want to glorify you. We want to spread the gospel to more and more people and win more lives into your family. God, let us take these charges seriously. Let's really think about who we should be spending time with and wanting to do that for the glory of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, we need your help with self-control and self-purpose. And just thank you for our church family. In Jesus' name, amen.